Families wanted to fight for each other. Families wanted to die for each other. Let's go, AU!
Chris Davis is going to drop back.
War Eagle, this is War Bloggle with the 29th episode of the War Bloggle podcast. Feels like I've been doing this podcast for 40 years and we're just down to 29 episodes, so that tells you how it's been going. No, really, we're at the great reset, the great reboot, the great redo of War Bloggle. If you saw my site or socials over the summer, the site got hacked back in April really bad. I have a blog about it. I don't have to go through everything, but got hacked really bad, and I've rebuilt the site and trying to revamp everything and just make it a good thing, kind of a reset of everything. I was able to get most, if not all, of my blogs back. Images and stuff are still up in the air, but if you go to the site, for the most part, it looks nice and new and fresh and clean and all those things. But point is, trying to do these podcasts again, go back and listen to the one I said in January, which was my last podcast. I probably said this exact same thing, but it's a new season of football, and we all feel happy and like we're going to do things we wanted to do, and it's just a great time to reset and refresh. And Auburn is 1-0, and I'll get into that in just a little bit. But Auburn's 1-0, and everybody's kind of somewhat positive and happy right now. Not all of us. If you don't hate everything, that means you love everything. Remember that. But let me go back just a little bit. So the site, I've got a lot of new features on it. I've got kind of like a vault of old bloggles. Next year will be starting the 20th year of War Bloggle. And so I had roughly 4,500 posts. I didn't write all of them, but I wrote most of them. And so those are kind of like in a vault now at the section of the homepage. If you go down to the bottom, you can search by year, date, whatever. You can select random. You can say day in the bloggle. Like if you want to say what happened on this date 15 years ago or whatever, it'll find one of those. So all that is still there. Again, some of it might be ugly. Some of it might be missing a picture. If it's not readable, send me a message on Twitter or email or whatever, but I've got links out there to kind of make that easy. In general, I'm making this kind of a good thing. For it to be football season, kind of the beginning of football season, we always get happy and excited and restart everything. Hopefully we can continue to do that. This has kind of pushed me to learn how to use a lot of new tools. I've been using Claude, the AI tool, to kind of help rebuild the site. No, it's not cheating. I need to know what to tell it to do. It's just doing it a lot of it for me quicker. But anyway, going to try to make the site much more picture video or podcast video friendly. I know we don't like to read a ton. I'll still write some things, but it might be shorter or quicker or in sections that are more fun to read or easier to read. So that's kind of the whole goal from this point forward. This has always been a hobby. It's gotten me a few little perks here and there. I've gotten to go a few places and be in a few events and things like that. It's never been a moneymaker. Wish it was. That would be my goal, was to kind of this be my job. That's kind of, again, I'm using this reset to maybe start that process again. 20 years of a presence in the Auburn website, social media world should be something I can kind of build on or stand on. So if you're looking to invest or looking to join or looking to do anything, don't hesitate to send me a message. If you're looking to join the team, I'm really looking for somebody who can like run the store. I've got a lot of shirts and things and ideas, but the store part is just what takes so much time, and I don't really have that much time to do that. I mean, it's something I've had out there, but it's just something I don't promote well and push out there. So if you're a marketing person or a designer or things like that, if you're intern or something like that, I can't pay anybody right now. I don't pay myself. So if you want to be part of something that is growing to be paid, send me a message. Another new thing, you may have seen, it's the last podcast on this feed before this one you're listening to now, is my two sons. One is 17, a senior in high school, one's 14 in eighth grade. They're Auburn homers like me, and they've been wanting to do a podcast. Really, my wife, Beautiful Bloggle, she's been wanting us to do it, but we finally sat down at the dining room table last week and talked about the season and predicted games and things like that. I'm not saying it'll be an every week podcast. We kind of want it to be, but one's playing football, one's constantly doing baseball things, and it's, you know, we've got a football game Thursday night, Friday night, Auburn on Saturday, usually baseball on Sunday. It's tough to kind of get us all sit down for an hour and talk, but we'll try to do it. It's called The Bloggle Boys. The first episode, we didn't have a name. We were trying to figure it out, but everybody kind of voted The Bloggle Boys, so that's what we're going with. And you can find that on Spotify right now. I've still got to kind of push it around. I put it out on YouTube, so that'll be another thing. Bloggle spots. Those used to be the daily things I did. I have 250 Bloggle spots, so I've done a lot more of those than I've done of these. And the podcast and Bloggle spot thing has kind of morphed back and forth. Bloggle spots used to be me sitting in my car, driving on the way home from work, talking into my phone for 15 minutes. And people liked it. People, when I stopped doing them, everybody was asked, not everybody, a bunch of people asked why. Well, it's because I've worked from home for like the last 10 years now, and I don't have those drives anymore. I may have to take one of the boys to school, and that's 3 minutes. I may, whatever. I used to, if I went and picked one up from school, I'd be one of those losers that went an hour and a half earlier and just sat there, and I would record some there. But I just don't have it. I don't have those situations anymore. But those are kind of easier to listen to, especially going back to the new version of War Bloggle that's going to kind of be more audio, video centric and quick and all that. Bloggle spots are going to be easier for some to listen to than, you know, sitting here for maybe 45 minutes or an hour listening to this. But anyway, I'm trying to get those done as well. But that's kind of what I have. Bloggle spots, the War Bloggle podcast, and the new Bloggle Boys. I do kind of want to do this thing. I've talked about this forever. I don't just love Auburn. I like music. I like weird things. I like history, aliens, ghosts, all that kind of stuff. So I'd love to do a podcast or even an entire different website. I've had one sitting out there forever that I just need help with in terms of content. So if you enjoy writing, talking, podcasting, whatever about other stuff, reach out. I love music, like my number one and a half thing, if you want to call it that. So, and that would be called Weird with War Bloggle, I think. So that's all the new stuff. Let's get it. You probably don't care about most of that stuff, and you probably stopped listening because I spent 10 minutes talking about it. But let's get into, there were a few things I wanted to talk about before the season started. I was going to do a podcast last week, but I spent all week redesigning the site and trying to get it up, so I never got a chance to podcast. And I went back, because I'm one of those idiots, and I listened to the last podcast, 28, from January 14th. And I was talking about how the things we're not going to do this year. I was saying, you know, people are going to do it, but if I had my way, we're not going to basically turn everything into Hugh Freeze didn't do this, or wow, look at Golish, he's doing this, and why didn't Hugh do this, and Hugh wasted this guy, and all that kind of stuff. Again, I said it on that podcast, and I'll say it again. I have no reason to defend Hugh Freeze or Brian Harsin. I didn't hate him. I'm never going to hate an Auburn coach unless I find out they're purposely losing games. I've said that forever. Like, you're going to make a joke that some of those games they purposely lost, but I'm never going to hate them. Always going to hope they win because they're the Auburn coach and I want Auburn to win. But, you know, it already kind of happened over the summer. Just, you know, why weren't we doing this? And I love everything Alex Golish is doing, like bringing back the former players. I did think that was kind of, we have done that before, but they were acting like it had never been done before. Maybe it wasn't done the way that we did it this year, but we're just kind of in that every, and it comes with every new coach. You're like, wow, this is already better than that other guy. And again, I'm not knocking the new guy, and I have no reason to defend the old guy, but it's just, that ship has sailed. Let it go. Let it go. You didn't want him here and he's not here anymore. So let it go. We don't have to just like continually, and I'm not, again, not talking about bashing him or defending him, but we don't have to continually just harp on the old stuff and to the point that you're making it up. Like you're making up stuff that's better, or why didn't we do that? Or wow, look at this player now. So the first week of the season, week zero or whatever, Jackson Arnold's playing. He's at UNLV now with Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen, stupid idiot self. I actually sat behind him in a wedding one time. He was in the pew in front of me. Said something, you know, like, I don't know why or how. I'm confused at how they were using him last year. Well, and then Jackson kind of had a decent first half. Who were they playing? Memphis, I think. Yeah, they were up, and then they lost. But the whole first half, you see halftime stats. I think he'd run a touchdown and pass for a touchdown. All these tweets of, look how bad Hugh Freeze was wasting Jackson Arnold. I guess we know what the problem was now. We know for sure it was Hugh Freeze and all this stuff. And then at the end of the game, everybody's then saying, well, because they lost, and I don't think they scored another touchdown. It was, dang, look how bad Hugh messed him up. Same old Jackson Arnold. And kind of the same thing with Ashton Daniels at Florida State. He's been okay. Like the other night, they had their chance to beat SMU, and for whatever reason, they don't throw the ball, and maybe they don't trust him too. But kind of the same thing. It's like if something was good, I mean, I saw Brandon Walker, and because he just hates Hugh Freeze, but all these other Auburn fans that just can't let go and move on, gotta go, well, dang, look how good Jackson Arnold is. We really were wasting him. I guess we know the problem. Flash forward the second half or the next game, and they're like, yep, looks like Hugh just ruined Jackson Arnold. Like, you can't have it both ways, right? You can't say one thing was this, the coach was messing it up this way. Oh, wait, that's been disproven. Well, yeah, he was messing it up this way. Again, I have zero reason to defend Hugh Freeze. Zero. I didn't necessarily want him. Did not want him. I was just kind of like, I was in a phase of life where I was like, what, 39, 40 years old, two kids. We play a lot of baseball. Ding, I mentioned baseball. I was just kind of like, all right, that's our coach now. He's been good before. Okay. That's about as far as it went. Like, I understood the negative things about him, but I also understood redemption and whatever. But I'm just kind of like, okay, he's our coach now. Same with Harsin. I liked Harsin from all the things he said before. But, you know, it didn't work out and whatever. We moved on. But that, I just can't stand people like that. I don't want to be in a fan base with people like that. I mean, I'll even jump over to Alabama. Like, there are decent Alabama fans. There are decent people that went to Alabama. There are decent people that pull for Alabama. But their bad fans are so bad, I would find a way not to either get rid of those people or pull for another team. Same with Georgia. I mean, there's barely any decent Georgia fans, but the same thing here. I don't just put the Twitter machine down. And this comes from somebody who's tweeted for 20 years incessantly until probably the last year or so. Just, you don't have to say, you don't have to go, well, yep, Jackson Arnold completed the pass. Look how stupid he was. Oh, here's an interception. Guy, Hugh just messed him up. You look stupid. Stop making us all look stupid. Anyway, that was something I was going to talk about before the season because it was week zero stuff. But let's jump to Baylor. It's Wednesday as I'm recording this, so I'd say we're past Baylor at this point. But got to talk about it a little bit. I was there. It was cool. I mean, I think there might have been 5,000 Baylor fans, and that's being generous. And 300 of them were with their band. It was not full. I'd say the top 10 rows in some certain parts of the upper deck were not full. I mean, they were zero people in it. It's one of those things. It's like it. I don't know how many it holds. Probably 65, 70. But it's not in Auburn. You probably had people still kind of boycotting, not wishing the game was in Auburn. It's a little bit more of a trip. So the only people you can kind of really rely on are the Auburn people who live in Atlanta. And then you got to think about people driving up from Opelika Auburn, which on the way home, I mean, it was bumper to bumper. I mean, we were moving, but especially once it got down to Tulane, it was like there was no going over 72 miles an hour. Not that I ever drive over 70, officer. But anyway, it was a 100%, not 100%, 85% Auburn crowd, and that's probably conservative. And it was a good scene. It was good fun. That is a good stadium. It is, I mean, it's 1,000 degrees outside. So you walk in and you got that AC blast. The seats are soft, even if they're not padded. I don't think they were padded. I can't remember. We were in the lower level in the corner by the Baylor band. But, you know, everybody's got their own seat. You're not crammed. It's not metal bleachers. AC's going. I don't know if it's because there weren't. I mean, the stadium was mostly full. It's not like there was nobody there. But when I went to the bathroom, there was hardly ever a line. When you go get a drink or something to eat, it was like almost maybe five people in front of you at most. The drinks are mostly all free refills, like $2 to $4, and get free refills the whole game. I did somehow order a pretzel. She left and came back 5 minutes later, and it was in a pizza box, and it was literally like a caveman pretzel. I ate about half of it and couldn't talk for the second half, but it's cheap, it's quick, it's comfortable, it's not hard to get to. If you ride MARTA, you're right there. And even though a million people were leaving on the way home, MARTA was really not that terrible. There's a lot more people going north in Atlanta on MARTA than I thought would be, but I guess that was the people that just rode down from Buckhead or whatever. But the scene was great. I mean, they had the SEC Nation, the little thing outside the Aflac area, the fan zone. It was fun. They had a Hey Dude section, a Hey Dude booth, and it was like, not beer pong or whatever, it was like big ping pong balls, like a volleyball or something. And if you made all three in this trash can kind of thing, you got 99% off Hey Dudes. Like, they gave you a card that was literally 99% off. One of my kid's friends was there. He got it, and he got some $100 Hey Dudes for $1. Hey Dude golf shoes. Went straight to their website, put in the pin, put in the code, whatever, and got it for $1. My other son got it, and he got some regular Hey Dudes for 67 cents. So that was pretty awesome. I mean, they were just handing them out. Kind of tells you how much those things cost, but versus what they charge. But anyway, that was kind of cool. But we also went to the Oracle Plus Auburn kickoff tailgate thing. It was at Stats Bar. It was actually upstairs, and it was kind of its own event. They did the half of the Auburn radio. The Tiger tailgate show was there. One of the guys was there. I can't remember his name. Jacob. And then Jason Campbell, Ronnie Brown was there. Butch Thompson was there. Stephen Pearl, women's basketball coach, was there. Bub Terrell was there. So that was pretty cool. It was still hot, even though it was still inside. I mean, it was 1,000 degrees. That was cool. Talked to Bub Terrell about travel ball and stuff. It was interesting. I don't know why I jumped back to that, but got to the game. Kind of just felt like Auburn was going to roll over them all week. I felt like that. I wasn't thinking about Lagway. I was just thinking Byron Brown's big and strong, and it's Baylor, and surely they didn't get better. Well, I think they did get better. Lagway rolled his ankle at one point, and he was Byron left-witching us all game. I mean, he had time to stand back there and find somebody open. Threw the ball really good. That's always been his thing. But he's also always turned the ball over. First drive, he tries to hurdle somebody, and Winters knocks it out. That was kind of foreshadowing to the end of the game. But knocked the ball out. And then, you know, he just kind of dumped it off to little number six, who was a transfer from Oklahoma State. Just dumped it off over and over to him. Their run game was okay. I don't remember them really busting anything more than 6, 7, 8 yards. But the deal was their defensive line just kind of destroyed us. And I don't know that it's our offensive line. Maybe defensive line. Their defensive line is good. You got Dave Aranda, who's their coach, defensive guy, used to be at LSU. Always, he was known for defense, Mr. Defense. Apparently they went out and bought a defensive line. And again, we had all new offensive line, all getting used to each other. And again, we haven't had a great offensive line. We kind of had a decent one last year, or was it 2 years ago? Can't even remember. But I feel like we hadn't had a great one since 2013. And maybe that was just Nick Marshall being able to get away from things. But that was the deal. It's like we couldn't run the ball. Byron Brown did stand back there multiple times very calmly. Like, it just looked like he almost thought the play was over and they'd blown the whistle or something. So he was very calm back there. I have seen two things now about how, and even he even mentioned this, in terms of staying in the pocket more, trying to, because he wants to be an NFL quarterback. And Jordan Palmer, Carson Palmer's brother, is his coach, and maybe that's what he's teaching him to do. And Jordan Palmer's been very complimentary of Byron Brown and Auburn. If you go to warbloggle.com, one of the first few posts, maybe the second post I put on the new version of the site, was the video of Jordan Palmer kind of talking about how good everything is with Auburn and Byron Brown. But I think he's going to have to get out of the pocket a little bit. He ran a little bit. He obviously scored the touchdown to win the game, basically, to take the lead. And I can't remember if it was that just a, I think it might have been a designed run. But he's going to have to get out the, but that's his game, is you need to be able to throw and you need to be able to run. There need to be some design things, but there also needs to be, hey, there's nobody open, I can go get 10 yards around the end, just like Cam Newton. And there's our first problem. We had people with shows on TV, people with shows on YouTube, people with whatever, real mad, thinking Byron Brown was going to be Cam Newton because Cam interviewed him and because of these videos of how big and strong and great he is. Or great he looks. And I'm not bashing Byron at all. I've seen him play for one game and we won. And he did a few good enough things. We had three interceptions. Everybody loves to harp on three. Mr. Joseph Goodman, AL.com, didn't watch the game, just saw three interceptions. We should have benched him. Okay? One was tipped. Sure. Can you sometimes blame the pass, a tip pass on the quarterback? I guess. But you're still going to throw the ball. Sometimes a hand gets up. Sometimes it doesn't. Maybe you should realize the hand's there. I don't know. But it screamed Peyton Thorne to me when everybody's screaming three interceptions. When one, I think two were tipped, actually. We just didn't have Cam Coleman for it to tip off of his hands and go to somebody else. But it just felt like that. You see the number three, you go, that sucks, he sucks, we're going to suck. Like, that's not it. That's not going to happen every game. You've got the if Warriors. If we play like that every game, we're not going to win a game. If we play like that against Florida, well, guess what? They have different players. We have weeks to prepare. We have weeks to learn off the things we didn't do well. We have weeks to learn what Florida does well and doesn't do well, or Southern Miss. We have days for Southern Miss, weeks for Florida, weeks for Tennessee, weeks for Vandy, months for Georgia and LSU. Players are going to get hurt. Things are going to get right. Trends are going to be set. We don't have to go, well, if we play like that, and that's the first thing you see on Facebook. It's the first thing you see in response to anything I post. If we play like that, we're not going to play like that. Guarantee we're not going to play the same way we did against Baylor as we are against Florida. Just not. We're not going to call the same plays. It's not going to be inside. It's not going to be the first game of the year. They're not going to have Dave Aranda. They're not going to have DJ Lagway. They're not going to have little white boy number six. They're not going to have whatever. It's the dumbest thing. I guess that's all my podcasts end up being, and the better ones are this way anyway, is when I just see the dumb things that people say, and they represent us as Auburn fans. I've been told I'm a terrible representation of Auburn fans because I'm positive, because I'm okay with mediocrity. No, nobody said that. I didn't think Byron Brown played awesome. I think he did enough. I don't think our offensive line played well at all. I think their defensive line and the way Aranda calls things and them having some legit players there and us having mostly new players there, I think that had a lot to do with it. Supposedly, both guards went down in the fourth quarter and both got replaced, and that's when we went on the drive to score. I haven't looked into that. I do remember two players being down at the same time, and I do remember somebody saying we replaced guards. But maybe that's the issue. So for you if Warriors, if we play like that, well, we might have two new guards. We now know that Jeremiah is good at this. We now know that Byron needs to do this. If you would stop saying that, you'd look less stupid. Let's say that better for the clip. If you'd stop saying that, you'd look less stupid. Okay. But anyway, he's not Cam Newton. He might be better than Cam Newton by the end of the year. Who knows? We have zero clue. Cam Newton didn't look awesome against Mississippi State in game two. We had to come back and beat them. There were games where we didn't look the greatest in the world in 2010, but we still won. We looked awful against Clemson, still won. Clemson's done. Sorry. I hate the it's time argument like that people use for Gus, because it was not time, it was COVID. But it's been time for Dabo. There's not any excitement anymore. He's just lost the crowd. And if he was an Auburn coach, I'd probably argue against that a little bit, but they're done. They don't have that cool appeal anymore. They were kind of cool for a while. I never thought they were. I think their logo and their colors are cheesy. But they kind of had that cool appeal, and they kind of had that, we can play in the ACC and win and go to the playoffs every year thing, and that's just done. Miami's kind of taken that over from them. Anyway, off of Clemson. Auburn won. Winters is great. I saw him play in person at Enterprise against Opelika. He was a stud then. He was all over the place. He did actually give up the touchdown right before the two-point conversion. I don't think anybody noticed that. He looked mad, like it wasn't his guy, but he was the closest guy to the guy that scored. He's a stud. He's one of those just head hunters, loves playing defense, loves hitting people. But Auburn's 1-0, and that's really all that matters. And we have Southern Miss coming in. They're 1-0. They beat Alcorn State 49-3. Here's a trivia question. Post it in the comments or whatever. I didn't realize this. You can comment on Spotify, by the way. But when I post this on Warbloggle, post a comment in there or Facebook. What famous quarterback played at Alcorn State? Very famous NFL quarterback. Semi-recent. It wasn't from like the 50s. Semi-recent. Put that in the comments. But, Southern Miss, did y'all realize, and I was going to put this in the post later, but did y'all realize that I knew they beat us in the early 90s, but they beat us in 90 and 91, both at home, once with Brett Favre, both by 1 point. It was like 10-9 and 13-12. They beat Alabama that year. In 90, one of those years, they also beat Alabama. So 1 year, Brett Favre beat Auburn and Alabama in the same year, obviously both on the road. But those are two of the only three or four times they've ever beaten us. I think we've got like a 20-4 record somewhere along those lines. They're never absolutely awful. They did go winless a few years ago. Who was our quarterback? I'm not our quarterback. It was one of our coaches, gray hair. He looked older than he was just because his hair was so gray. People are screaming his name. I got to figure it out. Guys, what is his name? He was one of our defensive coaches. Southern misses coaches by year. What is his name? I'm going to note it in 5 seconds. Scream it at me right now. Ellis Johnson. 2012, awful Auburn year as well. He played at the Citadel. He was our defense coordinator in 2013. Was he really? I guess I knew that. Yes, I did, because that was in the national championship game years. But he was also a coach at Alabama a few times. But anyway, he was the Southern Miss coach in 2012, and they went 0-12. So, anyway, that's the last year they've been absolutely awful, I'd say. They're not bad, but they're not, I guess they are D1, but they're not, Power 4, whatever. They could come into the game and make it interesting. We don't know. They might follow the same things that Baylor did on the defensive line and still put it on us. I don't know. But I still think Byron Brown, the wide receivers we have, which I think I said in my review, we had 8 guys catch balls Saturday. That's pretty good. I saw some tweet today that was like, it was the first time we had had 7 or more third down conversions through the air in like a decade or more. So those are good things to see. People want to cry and complain and get on their YouTube channel with their brother and scream that we're awful or if we play like that, or, all those stupid things that people just yell, that we ain't got that dog in us and all that kind of crap. Just because you're tired of seeing Auburn play like this. So what? What are you going to do about it? Nothing. But anyway, Southern Miss, what were their stats? Their quarterback threw for 180 yards in a 49-3 win. So I guess they were pretty run heavy. They had a guy rush for 123. I'm not going to pretend to know a ton about Southern Miss's team this year. I will say their coach is Blake Anderson, who, if you don't remember, was at Arkansas State right after Harsin. Yes. So, if you don't remember, Auburn has had three coaches that coached three straight years at Arkansas State. 2011 was Hugh Freeze. 2012 was Gus. 2013 was Harsin. And 2014 was Blake Anderson. And he coached there for 6 or 7 years. He played against Auburn twice, and we beat them both times, but not when Cam was there. It was right before that, which is also interesting. But, yeah, he's that guy. He was there for 6 or 7 years. I very much remember him because we saw him twice in about a 4 or 5 year span. So, decent coach. He, after Arkansas State, he went to Utah State for a year or so, or a year when then he went to – he was offensive coordinator at Southern Miss last year, and now he's the head coach. No, that can't be right. He was the head coach – was the offense coordinator? They moved him up this year? No, I guess it was last year. Anyway, it's Southern Miss, the Golden Eagles. What else? I guess in terms of Auburn football, that's all I was going to say for right now. We're 1-0. We got Southern Miss. Florida's going to be big. I don't know if they're great. The more I see their coach, and I have met him in person, and he was nice, and it was a long time ago, but the more I just see him stand there, the more I see him as that guy, that high school coach that couldn't do anything else. And he was good, but he could barely coach history, barely teach history. That's just what he reminds me of. He just looks like that guy that's like, yeah, I was good at football 14 years ago in high school, and I'm coaching it now. And I guess I get it. He's a D1 coach in an SEC school, so obviously he could do something. But he just kind of just looks like – I'd like to see his report card. That's all I'm saying. Speaking of other idiots, LSU, and I realize this has kind of been resolved by now, and I'm glad I didn't yell about it last week, and it got, you know, it was all a moot point. I thought we got over this with the Bediako stuff and the Alabama stuff, and you know it's bad when guys on ESPN that try to, you know, give the athletes the benefit of the doubt all the time, when they're just flat out saying, this is stupid. Why are we doing this? Why are we thinking that people that couldn't cut it in NFL fall camp or wasn't going to start or didn't get signed or got dropped or whatever, they think it's okay now to just come back, and then you've got a coach. You know, 99% of the coaches think that's stupid. But everybody's got to keep up. So you got one coach, Lane Kiffin, and it may not be him pushing it. It might just be the lawyers, the school lawyers, the AD, whatever. It might just be whatever. And he's saying, hey, I'm just calling plays and whatever. If y'all want to get me this player, sure, whatever. That might be his involvement. I don't know. Of course, he doesn't make it look like that when in the halftime thing he goes, in the halftime thing with against Clemson, he was like, imagine if we had NFL players, just kind of making a joke, which I don't mind him being a jokester. It adds a little bit to something that kind of gets a little too serious sometimes. But why are we allowing losers? And I'm not saying they're a loser for going to the NFL and failing. That happens obviously more times than not. In no way am I acting like I'm a better football player or anything than these people. But to go, all right, well, I'm going to step back and go down to that bottom level just so I can get a paycheck. I'm going to try my best not to talk about NIL or transfer portal in any of this, but it's got to be touched on a little bit. That's all they're doing it for. They're not going back down to go, hey, I need to get a few more reps, and then next year I'll be better. I mean, that might be 1% of what they're doing, but that's not what they're doing. They're going, well, I was expecting an NFL check. Maybe I already bought this car. Maybe I already bought that house. But I don't have that money anymore. Or it's not going to be coming as much as I thought it was. Or in 6 months, I won't have any more. Let me go to LSU, who's definitely going to need me. Because I was good enough to semi be in the NFL for a few weeks. So let me go back down there, kick a guy off the roster, and get me $1 million. Now, is it the dumbest idea in the world? Like the dumbest plan? No. I mean, if that's allowed, I don't fault them for, I do fault it a little bit. Like you got to have some integrity. And that is, to me, that is not integral, whatever you want to call it. You're basically saying, I'm going to go down to something else. I keep thinking of it as travel ball. Ding, I mentioned baseball again. But when you get to a certain point, they have a birthday cutoff in baseball, obviously. There's a birthday cutoff. And if for some reason, it doesn't coincide with grades. So it messes everything up. So like whatever age you are on May 1st, that's what you are for the next year. So if you're, or April 30th. So if you're in sixth grade, but your birthday's on May 4th, you can play with fifth graders. And that's how it is all the way up till you're out of school. And a lot of people do that, and it makes sense sometimes. And I'm not bashing it. Like, my kid could have done it, but I just didn't do it. I'm not bashing it. But the idea, though, is I can't make that team up there, even though that is my grade. Let me go down a grade and kick somebody off that team so I can get mine. Now, the thing about that is they're playing because they want to play. In this case, they're playing and wanting to go down so they can make another check. So, but you've got Lane Kiffin. Again, let me get back to that part. Lane Kiffin or his group of people, his posse, telling them, hey, it's allowed. Let's go do it. Technically, it's allowed. The 5 years, five thing, whatever. Let's go do it. We can make our team better. And they're like, okay, yeah, let's make our team better. Well, the SEC says no because they said no to Bediako eventually. And we go find some backwoods Southern lawyer or backwoods Southern judge and who happens to have a purple and yellow tie on that day and a ring from 2003 when LSU split the championship. And he goes, yeah, you're right. That's what that says. He can play. I say. Whatever that was. I think that might be Mississippi more than LSU. And so we fight it back with SEC, and we keep going back and forth, and it's like, well, we're the SEC. You play in the SEC. So you can choose not to play, and that's kind of where we are now. It's like it went back and forth enough. LSU kind of showed they really didn't mean it, I guess, and didn't put those guys on the roster, and now they, after a week or a few days, SEC starts going, hey, what can we do about kicking them out? And LSU's like, oh, crap. All right, fine. I don't need this five-year tight end that played at Ole Miss that couldn't cut it in the NFL anymore. And so they back off, which it's stupid that it has to happen, but I'm glad that the SEC did it. Like, it shows that the SEC kind of has a pair. I wish they'd fix the Auburn schedule with Alabama and Georgia rotating again. And Greg Sankey will never do that for some reason. But yeah, I don't feel like it's going to go away. There's going to be some other dumb way to keep trying to do this, because it wasn't just LSU. There was like 40-something players that were fighting for this. Again, fighting for a paycheck. That's why T.J. Finley was in college football for like 7 years, because he wasn't going to go pro, and they'll give him $500,000 to play college football with 18-year-olds. You got Trinidad Chambliss at Ole Miss. He's 24 years old. We want to bash Auburn's basketball team for having a 25-year-old or whatever. You got a, and football's way different than basketball. You got a 24-year-old playing with kids 6 years younger than him. 18-year-olds and 24. And we're acting like, oh, he's a stud. Well, he should be. I know it's very different. But if you were 16 and you were playing 10-year-olds, how much better would you be? Like, it's more physical. The physical differences aren't as much once you get to 18 and 24. But the brain is. He's played 6 more years of college football than some of these kids. And we want to act like he's the stud and untouchable and whatever. Should have lost Louisville. But again, he got put in because of a backwoods Southern judge who was wearing a red and baby blue tie at a 1961 national championship ring that nobody knew about. But the positive from all this is you have seen people finally pull back the mask, take off the mask, and go, this is stupid. This is not anything. This is, we have to tell somebody no at some point in the world. We have to say no. You cannot do that. I don't know. I know exactly when that started. It's not a part of, it doesn't fit in on this podcast, but you've got to tell somebody no sometimes. Tell your kids no. I don't get told, I was told no way more than I tell my kids. So it's, I think it's just a dwindling thing that's just going to get worse and worse and worse. But I'm not trying to be the old guy, but you know, it's, you got to tell somebody no. And finally the SEC did. Now, next step is if you're going to do NIL, actually do NIL. Real quick, not going to harp on it, but the whole purpose of NIL was you're selling a jersey with my number on it. I want a kickback. I was in Rally House the other day. I went to Dick's. I went to Academy. You know how many jerseys I saw with Byron Brown's name on them? Zero. Zero. Rally House had a Auburn baseball jersey. They had a Cam Coleman jersey. But we just completely went past that. It was, I want some money for my name. Okay, I get it. My name, image, and likeness. And we allowed that, and all of a sudden that allowed everything, and you can't tell anybody no. So that meant, well, no, never mind. Here's your car. Here's your car. Don't worry about that jersey sale. This car's worth way more. Oh, you want $400,000? You haven't played a snap of college football? Who cares? Here's $1 million. Wait, you sucked last year? You were on a 5-7 team and fumbled in the Iron Bowl and dropped multiple passes? Oh, here's $4 million. Take, if we're going to allow transfers, if we're going to allow whatever, do it the right way. Give them money for sales of their stuff. Their stuff. Like, if you're the four-string center and you're not going to sell a jersey, sorry, be better. Or that's just your part of life. That's just your place in this universe. You aren't meant to be somebody who sells jerseys in this sport. Go wrestle. I don't know. Okay, I was going to be quick on that. Real quick, two other sports at Auburn that I talk about a lot. Basketball released their preseason schedule. I always call it preseason. Pre-SEC schedule. I'll go through it real fast. We're playing Florida State and Alabama 8 days apart, both in Birmingham, October 14th and October 22nd. Both are exhibitions that are on TV, which I don't love. I guess basketball, what are you really going to hide other than who you have? But it's whatever. We're even playing Samford. So we got three exhibitions. Samford in an exhibition at Neville. Why would you play them in an exhibition? There used to be all these secret games or whatever they called them, silent game. I don't remember what it was called. Where, you know, like Troy would come up here and play us and nobody knew about it. It would just be like a Saturday afternoon, maybe during a football game, and it would just be a scrimmage. But that's kind of what we're doing now. But it's like, of course, find a way to make money and put it on TV and have a Auburn-Alabama game before the season starts. So, yeah, we got three exhibitions. It's kind of a weak slate compared to what we normally do, and I don't really hate it. Arizona comes back. Remember, we went out there and got destroyed. Or we got App State before that. App State, Arizona. Then we go to Las Vegas again. Didn't we do that last year? We got West Virginia, then Kansas or ULV, UNLV. So that'll be decent. That's a little stretch. Arizona, West Virginia, who's usually pretty good, and then Kansas or UNLV. Then there's another game. That's probably the championship game or whatever. Then we have Lipscomb from Nashville at Clemson. I guess that's the SEC-ACC challenge. Eastern Kentucky, Alabama State, Middle Tennessee State, Wisconsin at Nashville, Lehigh, and Morgan State. Ooh, that'll be the game with no students there right after Christmas, and you can go sit down there. So big games are, take out the exhibitions, Arizona, West Virginia, Kansas or UNLV, Clemson, Wisconsin, and that's it. So, I don't know. Last year's was just beyond brutally stupid. And it would have been brutal for Bruce if he was still there. But, you know, NIT champions don't back down from anybody. You know what I'm saying? What else do we have in that schedule? Texas A&M is first, and Alabama is last. Skipping over to another sport, baseball just released their schedule. We already knew their SEC schedule, but they announced something pretty cool yesterday. They're going to the Bahamas February 19th through 21st and playing Penn State at like a national stadium down there. I guess the Bahamas National Stadium. I was just there. I went on a cruise for my 20th anniversary. We went to Nassau and went to their this cool little new island thing they have with Royal Caribbean Cruise. But so maybe we can go on that again and go down there. But in the exhibition world, this is kind of a cool new thing they do. We're playing Mississippi State and Florida State in October at the Biloxi Minor League Stadium down there. So who do we play that weekend? October 10th. Auburn's off that weekend in football. So if you want to do something, go down to Biloxi and watch baseball that weekend. It's Friday night, Saturday night, or Friday night, Saturday during the day against two really good, usually really good teams. But nothing too special in the season. We play Florida at Oklahoma national champions. Who remembers that? I swear, like a month ago, I was like, who won the national championship? And somehow it was Oklahoma. Missouri at Georgia, Tennessee at South Carolina, at Arkansas. So that's our back-to-back ats. Ole Miss at Vandy, and then ending the season in Alabama, which we don't really do. I feel like we did that last year or 2 years ago. Could be making that up. But no, we played them early last year because they beat us. But in basketball and baseball, both ending the season or ending the regular season against Alabama. In basketball, we are at home, so that's interesting. Both of them are home Alabama games. And football is away because Greg Sankey won't fix it. So, yeah, Auburn beat Baylor. We have Southern Miss coming up. Let's fix everything we can. They won't be terrible. They won't be awesome, but it's one of those teams that'll give us enough of a challenge that, you know, it won't just be fake getting better. And then, you know, we can probably work on a few things and it might mess up early. We'll be good enough to kind of still win the game. LSU is stupid. Let's just say if they got kicked out of the SEC, that I think that would start the dismantling of everything. So I don't really want it to happen. I think you would blow up other conferences. They would go other places. They would stop having the NCAA, which everybody fake. It's like everybody wanting Nike. They didn't really want Nike. They just jumped on the bandwagon because the level of stuff they have, the designs they have are absolutely awful or exactly like every other team. But I just think it's a bandwagon thing to hate the NCAA, but who cares? They're just the governing body. You don't love everything about the governing body. You don't love everything about the government, whatever. Yeah, we went over the baseball and basketball schedule. So again, I'm going to try to do this every week. I wanted to have them out by Tuesday, so the game review's a little fresher. And then we'll do the Bloggle Boys either on Wednesday or Thursday. Again, if you would like to help with anything, I will be glad to talk about, you know, podcast partners, podcasting. I would love to have a kind of a collection or network of podcasts. If you want to write, if you want to do game, I'm not a Snapchatter, and I'm not saying I want somebody to run my Snapchat. But I feel like there's a little bit of a miss in game day stuff. I'm just usually tailgating at the home game, so I'm usually in one spot. I'll go to Tiger Walk sometimes, so I don't know how great that would be. But looking for somebody to run some game day socials stuff. So if you've made it this far in the podcast and want to talk about that, shoot me a message. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I just had my biggest TikTok video of my TikTok career. I noticed the tackle that Eric Winters made at the end of the Baylor game kind of reminded me of 2011 Mississippi State game where we tackled Chris Rolfe at the goal line and ended their hopes and dreams. And I posted those two videos together and it got a big response so far. So follow me in all those places. Go see the new website. If you've seen it before and you're like, okay, I don't care about this kind of stuff, I'm adding new features and new pieces. I've got a game week section now that's going to kind of put all the posts together and have information about the game. I'll post a lot more simple things, videos. It's not always just going to be blogs, even though it's called War Bloggle, everybody. I always said I'm not a blogger. And I was like, blog's in your name. I'm like, yeah, you're right. But, you know, go check it out. Let me know what you think. Click contact and say, hey, this part sucks. Or, hey, you could do this and it might be pretty cool. Anyway, I'm rambling now. So let's wrap it up. This has been episode 29 of the War Bloggle podcast. War Eagle.